What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast, Loving the Luge. Coming up, Will Still's ad loss, lowdown at Wigan, picking a cup set, and a So Solid Crew tweet. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And it's another Tuesday show for us this week, gang. Hope you're well. We're here to discuss all matters Football League. It's me, Matt, and I've got Adrian and Sam with me. Before we get into the meat of our show, let me remind you that our partners Quinbet have an offer where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. And I would like to make a plea for some 5-star reviews, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Best way for us to grow the show. Only takes a second and we would really appreciate it. I was so keen to rattle off the admin there, Clarkie, that I forgot to actually say hello. Not like we haven't done that before I hit record, but hello, are you okay?
Yeah, dude. I like a little bit of chit chat at the top of the show. Yeah, it was, I was just going to say that we like a little bit of the luge. The thing is, I haven't seen any of the luge. I haven't seen any of the Winter Olympics yet. It's ridiculous. I mean, I used to love these kind of events as a kid, and I just got zero time.
Easy win days. With young rubbish. Kids, Clarky.
You've been missing out, mate.
Any time of day.
At your leisure. Yeah, that's the thing about modern streaming services. Sam, did you watch that American woman who tried to ski with no ACL and crashed and fractured her leg?
Yeah, one of my lads is a bit scarred about that, so I've had to brush it under the carpet. But yeah, the downhill skiing, slalom. Sorry, that's the same thing, isn't it? What else we watch? Snowboarding. That's tremendous. The jumps. Yeah,
bit of big air.
All good stuff. Bit of curling. Curling's always on. Yeah, that's always good for half an hour to keep them quiet.
I mean, the one thing I did see was the speed skater that's engaged to Jake Paul. She won gold, and she looks quite attractive in the clopper.
Bringing it down. I was going to say something about curling being the most football adjacent one, but I guess big air is as well, depending on who you support. We're not going to start with big air. We're going to start with managerial news. Well, this is awkward. Watford aren't still looking for their new manager. They've got Still in, but it's Edward, not his brother, Will. Had you heard of Edward Still before about 10 o'clock on Monday morning, Adrian?
Nope, genuinely hadn't. It hadn't registered that he had an older brother, isn't it? No, is he an older brother? Yes, he's his older brother. No, he'd been working with him, I think, at Lond, but obviously out of sight, out of mind and whatnot. We don't sort of follow that in great detail. No, had no idea. So, yeah, it's about as left field an appointment as we've seen in the Championship for many, many years, I would suggest. Limited experience as a number one. He's normally been a number two, but I didn't know. I think he did quite well at Charleroi in Belgium as a number one. But then his last post was at a club called Kortrijk, and he got appointed in the summer, I think, of 2023. Won none, drew two, lost six, and was sacked by the end of September. And that's his last number one gig. So I don't want to put him down. We wish him the best of luck. But it's an odd appointment, isn't it? I think it's definitely a nod towards the youthfulness of the squad, finding someone that will happily work within the parameters of what they ask him to do and to develop young players. So, yeah, look, we wish him well, but I don't know whether he really deserved it based on his CV so far.
He says fans can expect our team to be aggressive, really compact defensively and attack with pace. The chief exec and chairman, Scott Duxbury, said Ed's appointment was made on the conviction that this is a coach whose modern and progressive coaching methods fit perfectly with our squad dynamic, who we believe will take the team forward and who gives us a real chance to challenge for the playoffs. Don't want to be too negative, Sam, because he hasn't even started work yet and he might turn out to be the new Pep Guardiola, but you'd be fuming if you were a Watford fan, wouldn't you?
They're used to it, aren't they? Like, it's bizarre, this. I mean, shame on all the journalists that haven't done a long read on Will Still having a brother. I mean, how did we not know that? Like, all the articles and all the conversation around Will Still over the last 2 or 3 years, and nobody's brought up the fact that he's got a brother managing or coaching.
I did read, there was an Athletic piece in November 2023 that I read as a part of my
research.
Thank
goodness.
Yeah. So where Will mentioned his brother, but there's a few pars of quotes on it, but that's about it.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm surprised we've missed it. I wonder how they've come to this. They must have spoke to his brother. They must have done. I mean, I was saying last week that it was not in terms of maybe appointing him, but he must have been involved somewhere along the line, considering he's out of work and he's already managed a championship club this season. So,
do you reckon he's turned it down then?
No idea. But it's bizarre, isn't it? You know, because he's obviously the one that's been talked about and had a go in the championship this season, albeit it didn't go well at Southampton. But I felt from the outside, it looked like maybe a bit of a shoe-in for him. So, yeah, really surprised. But, yeah, as Clarkie says, wish him well. And it sounds like he's going to understand kind of the model that he's working within and working with all these good, talented young players. And interestingly, I was speaking to a Watford journalist yesterday from the local paper. And he believed that they got the players to do it this year. He believes they got the players, the quality in all areas of the pitch to get in the playoffs this year. I was probably more a little bit with Javi Glacia, that they were maybe short on a bit of experience. But, yeah, we shall see how he goes. I suppose just as a short, quick time fix, if they thought that maybe they could make it up this year, wouldn't it be more sensible to go for someone for the next 6 months with that experience of getting teams in the shake-up or maybe having the nous in the championship? But it's Watford, isn't it? And hopefully this one is a successful appointment.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, on that article that I referenced from 2023, Will described his brother as a real intellect, but it says that he got his first job at Charleroi during a time when they were run by a guy called Mehdi Bayat, brother of agent Modji, who apparently has a very close association with Watford. So Watford fans might be familiar with Modji's work as an agent. So that it feels like that is the link here, maybe as well as having a chat to Will Still himself.
All right, well, it's not an easy job for him. They haven't scored in three games. They haven't won since New Year's Day. Go to Preston on Saturday. Shout out to whoever at Bucks Writer is on X, formerly known as Twitter, who I think won the Ed Still pun name race by saying, "Ed Still used to work in my local barbers. They were always calling his name." Enjoyed that quite a lot. Elsewhere.
It took me a second. And then
I saw someone say good advice for someone on the tee as well.
Yeah, plenty of those to come over the next few weeks, I'm sure. Another team looking for a new manager are Wigan Athletic. They've sacked Ryan Lowe following their 6-1 thrashing by Peterborough on Saturday. He was in charge for just shy of a year, leaves the Latics in the relegation zone, having won just one of their past 10 league games. That was a real calamity for them. Felt a bit inevitable, this one, didn't it, Sam? Where next for him? Where next for Wigan? I mean, I've just got to get this out there. I love the fact that Glenn Whelan and Graham Barrow are an interim charge. So they've got Wheel Barrow at the wheel.
Very good, yeah. We'll see how Glenn Whelan does in the next few weeks, and maybe that could be an option till the summer. But they got a job on their hands because they've been dropping like a stone. And yeah, he was back, wasn't he, Ryan Lowe, a few weeks ago? I think that they put up someone from the hierarchy at the club, and he backed him staunchly. So that's gone very pear-shaped very quickly. I think we've probably spoken about Ryan Lowe and where it's gone wrong previously. For me, watching them last year, brilliant shape under Maloney, didn't concede any goals whatsoever. Really combative centre-halves. I think Jason Kerr's been missing. Carragher's been missing. Will Ameson, I think, is still about. And they've got arguably the best goalkeeper at the level in Tickle. So they've been hindered this year, I think, by injuries in that department. But obviously the remit for Ryan Lowe, I think, and if you look at the recruitment, was to make them more free-scoring and more creative and just balance that out. And it's not happened. I think only two teams have scored fewer. So it's not been a great watch. And I think if that was the want of the ownership and the plan, it's not gone that way at all. And they've had, what, Mullin there this year. They've got Joe Taylor now, Costello. They've had some decent front players. So to not be scoring goals, making opportunities, something unfortunately had to give. And I think they've more or less conceded as many goals already this year as they did in the entirety of last season, or just a couple fewer. So not good at either end of the pitch. And unfortunately, the managers paid the price. But yeah, it was probably the most obvious outcome come the end of the weekend after that thumping defeat at a defeat can be thumping at Peterborough, wasn't it, where they went down with a whimper.
On the goals front, they've blanked in six of their last nine home games. I mean, that's miserable, isn't it? You know, you go all the way back to sort of late September for, and that's that run. And during that period, you know, their fans, I think, might have seen three goals scored by their team in League One at that stadium. So it's nuts, really. I looked at some of the stats, the conversion rate, up there with the worst in the division, less than 10% shot conversion rate. And obviously discipline's been an issue. I think they've had seven red cards in all competitions as well. So yeah, he was searching in the last few games. Last three matches, three different systems, desperate to turn it around. And it just didn't happen.
Will Still and Gary Caldwell, the favourites, but I'm more no. interested in, of course.
Not his brother? Has he got another brother?
No, Will Still's just going to be the favourite for everything now, isn't he? Gary Caldwell's ex-Wigan, but I'm much more interested in...
He's not going to Wigan in the relegation zone, is he?
I'm much more interested in Leighton Baines at 25-1, personally. You got Steve Bruce in there as well. Not sure that that he'd go back. And somebody called Ruadri Higgins, whose work I'm not familiar with, but we shall see. They play tonight. They play Reading, who we'll talk about later. That's Tuesday as we record. Next today, then, we're going to flip it back to Monday. When Middlesbrough went top of the Championship, courtesy of a 2-1 win at Bramall Lane. We'll talk Sheffield United in our preview section, so this bit is for Borough-based chat. Adrian, you were moved to use the flame emoji on the group chat, re-Borough's football.
I did, and I used it alongside the term Borough's football is sizzling. So hopefully it was an appropriate emoji. I know that you're quite harsh critics, you two. It was a brilliant match, first and foremost. But some of the football that Middlesbrough are producing under Kim Hellberg is phenomenal to watch. There's no denying it. He has had a transformative effect on the team. They look 2 yards faster. They're running much harder. The bravery in possession that they're having is on a different level to what it was before. They're popping the ball around in tight areas, little triangles, pass move. There's always someone showing for the ball. Individuals have improved massively. Obviously, Tommy Conway was outstanding in this game. Aidan Morris, terrific. Whittaker is consistently delivering as well. We know Hayden Hackney's great. So yeah, it was Riley McGree was outstanding in this match with and without the ball. Yeah, they're a proper team, and they last night, in my opinion, it was a level that you would expect from potential champions of the Championship. That was the level of football that they produced. I've seen it with my own eyes against Southampton, what they can do. It's just, can they maintain it? You know, the Melander at the back looks great. Luke Ayling looks 22. He must be 32, I would imagine. So, yeah, he's done a brilliant job. The team are clearly working for him, and they're clearly working unbelievably hard on the training ground, because that isn't by chance that they can play football at that high standard. That comes from having good levels day in, day out at the training pitch. So, yeah, well done, Borough.
Sam, you opined that Mr. Hellberg looks like Jamie Vardy, which I'm totally with you
Thank you.
Six straight league wins for his team since they lost to Derby on New Year's Day. They were 9 points behind Coventry at that point, who they play on Monday of next week, of course. Clarkey talks about maintaining it there. Have they hit their stride at the right time? Is this a little too early? I mean, they got back-to-back home games against Oxford and Leicester after going to Coventry, so it looks like a chance to maintain that run if they can get something at the CBS on Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's going to be so many twists and turns still. I wouldn't discount Ipswich at this stage of going on a run. They just need to iron out a few deficiencies on the road. We know at Portman Road they've been phenomenal, pretty much just swatting teams aside. And we're going to learn a lot more about Coventry, I suppose, next Monday. You know, what is that going to look like? I would imagine before last night, it would look very similar to what we saw. Two teams going at it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either team's got it in their armoury to set out for a point, but maybe Frank Lampard's going to have to think in that manner now. Can he open things up against Middlesbrough when we watched them play such scintillating football last night? Love McGree. I mean, he makes such a difference because obviously he doesn't really play wide on the left-hand side. He congests the middle third with those other beautiful footballers. And I think that's where Sheffield United faltered a little bit, allowing Middlesbrough probably to gain control of that area of the pitch. But yeah, Morris, Hackney, wonderful players. And Clarkey's right about Whittaker. He looks like a completely different player. Even the first 3 or 4 months at Middlesbrough, he's kind of playing hunched over with zero confidence. Now his chest's out. He looks quick. He looks strong. He looks positive. Quick decision making. thinking, yeah, they're a really good side. And the first half last night, we had a friend over. We had a Chinese, a good Chinese as well.
On a Monday? Extraordinary. Good.
Yeah, we had a friend staying, so we normally go
on,
big when...
On Chinese, do you share their dishes, or do you order your own one and just stick with that? Right. I'm just interested.
All right, you Neanderthal. Smithy.
Yeah. They're very what, sorry? That. Of course you share it.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of that. Yeah, but apparently I know that I'm in the minority. Yeah.
Oh, God. Gavin and Stacey. Fucking Smithy. Unbelievable.
I didn't know about that.
Lambooner, prawn booner. Yeah. I had it on, which is a rarity, because normally I'd enjoy the company of my other half and her mate, but I was just shouting, "This is the best game I've ever seen," every minute. And they were quite engrossed as well. So, no, it was a great Monday night. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And Sheffield United played their part. And I've digressed and I have no idea where I'm going. But it was wonderful seeing them. But I'm not going to make any predictions because it's ridiculous. But, you know, at the moment, the pressure's certainly on Coventry. And the onus is on Frank Lampard and his staff, obviously, to come up with a game plan to not only win that game on Monday night, but to have a formula moving forward, because it's a real slide, isn't it, that they're currently on.
Briefly, something in sweet and sour sauce, something black bean based, half a duck, special fried rice, crackers.
Always the duck.
Do you want me
always
to get my duck. Well, do you want me to get my phone up? I could give you the whole order. We had a
Szechuan. I like a bit of Szechuan.
We had a Kung Po chicken, which I wouldn't normally go down that route, but the guest suggested that. Prawn toast, standard, quarter duck, yes. Beef in black bean, Singapore noodles, seaweed, maybe another.
Yeah, solid. Yeah, it's not actually seaweed, is it? But it does add a bit of crunch to the meal, if nothing else.
With the Singapore noodles, mate.
What do you mean it's not seaweed?
It's not actual seaweed from the sea. It's just like shredded cabbage, I think, effectively. They've rebadged it, you fool. Yeah, one of them.
Next time you're not sharing, Clarky, sprinkle your seaweed in your duck pancake. There you go.
Ooh, never done that
either.
This is
an extra little layer.
I'm so naive when it comes to Chinese. Yeah.
It's absolutely killed my link to the next bit of the show, but it was important that we got that. I was going to say, speaking of Sheffield United, you'll hopefully take it in the spirit it was intended, listener. I have said it before and I'll say it again. If Portsmouth are going to stay up this season, it's going to be on the basis of their home form. That faces a stern examination this weekend as Sheffield United come to Fratton Park. We'll talk Sheffield shortly. Let's start with the home team, though, as tradition dictates. Lost narrowly, Sam, at Preston at the weekend to bring their four-game unbeaten run to an end. But as I say, it's all about Fratton Park, isn't it, where they are unbeaten in the league since November. How do you rate their chances ahead of this one?
Quite strongly, I think, yeah. Be a test of Sheffield United going down there off the back of that defeat. They were on the wrong side of possibly the worst decision I've seen in the Championship this season at Preston at the weekend. I don't know if either of you saw it. Segacic went through 1v1 goal side of Jordan Story, a last ditch desperate challenge from the Preston centre half. There was kind of a ricochet. The ball kind of came off Segacic as he made the challenge. It certainly wasn't a touch from Jordan Story. And the referee gave a goal kick, which even makes it even more ridiculous. It was a stonewall penalty. So I didn't see the reaction of John Messino et al, but I'd imagine
he was not happy about it. Yeah, he said it's either a corner or a penalty.
Yeah, it was incredible. So they were, and on chances as well, they probably should have got something. It was a brilliant goal, wonderful header to give Preston the victory by Alfie Devine, if memory serves me right. But yeah, at home, two really good performances last time out. Well, certainly patches against Southampton, beat West Brom comfortably. Sheffield United will have to be aware of the impact that Ibu Adams has had in Portsmouth colours. Already got himself a couple of goals. Great form at home, as you said. I think they've been struck by the injury curse once more, with Keshi Anderson picking up a hamstring injury in training. So he's going to be missing. But yeah, I think it's certainly a game that Portsmouth can win. They've got different options in attack all of a sudden with the business that they've done in January. Brown led the line, brought in from Luton. I think Bishop was unavailable at the weekend, but I think potentially a good idea to just give Colby Bishop a little bit of a rest and maybe a little bit of a watching brief from the sidelines, because he's been toiling in recent weeks. But yeah, pretty in the balance about this one. I could see Portsmouth winning, given how well they've been in front of their home supporters recently.
Sheffield United-wise, Clarkie, they've got their Sheffield Wednesday voucher to cash in a couple of weeks' time. That could be a bit of a pummeling at Bramall Lane. Just wonder if that defeat on Monday night has kiboshed their chances of a late run at the playoffs. 8 points behind it now, and they'll be without Joe Rothwell for this one, and rightly so, because that was an absolutely atrocious tackle that got him sent
off. So bad. Yeah, it was the speed that he comes across and makes that challenge with, and he's so late, and it was really dangerous, and yeah, disastrous debut for Rothwell. Of course, he'll be out for three games at least now, only, so nightmare. Look, Sheffield United are a good team. They have had playoff potential all season, but I think the truth is, I just don't think they're quite good enough when they don't have the ball. I like them when they have it. I think they've got brilliant players. Obviously, Bamford's come in and has been superb. We saw Harmer with that unbelievable pass to Bamford for the goal last night. He almost scored himself. We know that Callum O'Hare's a terrific player. Down the right, Siriki and Brooks. I really like that combination. Loads of pace and skill and sort of drive down that side. So there's loads to love about Sheffield United when they've got the ball, when they're attacking. They're good, really good. It's just when they haven't got it, I'm not sure about them. I'm not sure. Maybe they've got too many attack-minded players in the team. That might be a part of it. I'm not sure. They got overrun, didn't they, in midfield in the game against Borough. There's no doubt about that with Arblaster and Peck. So I think Calvin Phillips has to come in, but it, you know, it won't be an easy game to come into at Fratton Park, that's for sure, because it'd be played pretty fast pace. So yeah, I just think without the ball, Sheffield United are a pretty average team. So that's going to hold them back for me this season. There's no clean sheet, by the way, in nine now for Sheffield United. And look, their away record, and it is a way where you really get tested without the ball. Their away record since the start of December, Sheffield United 1-1, drew 1, lost 4. So yeah, this for me is a tough test for the Blades. And and until they fix the balance of the team, until they become more resolute out of possession, I don't think they can make an assault on the playoffs.
They haven't won at Fratton Park since 2003. A 2-1 victory. This is a bit of you, Sam. The goal scorers, Gary O'Neill, Peter and Love, and Michael Brown. That made me feel very happy just to hear Peter and Love's name.
I loved Peter and Love.
And Ray Stubbs singing that song about him on Fantasy Football all those years ago. Yeah, we'll remember that. Fantastic stuff. Elsewhere in the Championship, Rams and Swans. Decent contest animalistically, football-wise. We'll find out when they meet at Pride Park on Saturday. They're the reverse Portsmouth, aren't they, Clarkie? Derby, we keep saying it. They need to sort out their home form. Beaten by Ipswich on Saturday. Won 4 of 16 at Pride Park. That's half the amount of games they've won on the road in the champ.
Yeah. They much prefer it away, don't they? Look, there's no shame in losing to Ipswich last time out. Obviously, they are probably a level above Derby, and they missed out on a tight game. They only had one shot on target, so that would have been a bit disappointing. It was noticeable that Derby had a lot of the ball, 54% of it. I think that has been a bit of a theme lately this season, certainly, or the last few months. Derby are definitely having more of the ball. They're playing a bit more football, but for whatever reason, at home in particular, they just can't kick on. They can't go beyond one goal. I mean, they just always score one. I think it's in 7 straight home games, it's Derby 1. And then it's the opposition. Sometimes it's nil. Often it's the opposition have got 1 or 2. And that's the problem. They've got to get that second goal. They've scored in 29 of 31 Championship matches this season, Derby. No one else has scored in as many games, but they don't have that many multiple ones, unfortunately. So that's a bit of an issue. For me, this game's all about Sammy Smodics. We think he'll make his debut. Obviously, he couldn't against Ipswich at the weekend after making that loan switch. And it was really interesting, wasn't it? I don't know what Sam thinks about this with the McKenna quotes. He basically said that it's not really for football reasons. In no uncertain terms, he basically said he needs him out of the building for the spirit of the team. Now, that tells me that he's just not a very good sub. He's not a guy that he's happy being on the periphery of the squad. And there's actually nothing wrong with that. If I was Sammy Smodix, I wouldn't be happy if I was left out on a regular basis either. So, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But it also tells me that he's a hungry player and someone that will be very, very determined to remind Ipswich and everybody else how good he is. And he's got a good track record with John Eustace. We know that from the time at Blackburn. So I think he'll come in and play at 10 or in and around Adjumang. And then I would imagine Bobby Clark will just drop into a slightly deeper role for the suspended Lewis Travis, who'll probably play against alongside David Ozo. So that's how I'll probably see it panning out in terms of the selection. I mean, it'd be a hard game because Sam's going to talk about Swansea, but Swansea are in good form, aren't they? So, look, if Derby want to be in the playoffs come the end of this season, they need to start winning more at home. And even though Swansea are improving, I do think this is a winnable fixture for them.
Yeah, Swansea are improving, Sam, aren't they? Back-to-back victories to nil, 3 wins from 4. Maybe they could be a team to watch next season, or is this a case of, yeah, but it's all about Vipotnik?
No, I don't think it's all about him. I think it's more about the new manager, probably. Although Vipotnik has got the hardest shot in world football since Hotshot Hamish. Another one for the kids there.
Jimmy Hasselbank was in between Hotshot Hamish and Vipotnik, possibly.
Yeah, and who was the geezer for Forest who used to smash the pens? He normally gets name checked here. No?
Stuart Pearce?
No, wasn't there a bald bloke in the 80s, 70s?
Jim Smith?
Oh, Johnny Metod.
There you go. Thank you. Matt.
For my time.
And mine. Yeah, that was ridiculous, wasn't it? The power he got in that, although I'm not sure about the goalkeeper's part in it. But we'll leave that for another day. Yeah, he's in incredible form. I think he's got the biggest gap in between his goal scoring and his XG, if that makes sense, if I've articulated that correctly. He scored, I think, double his XG there or thereabouts. So
XG differential, I believe they call that.
So basically, it just shows that he scores absolute worldies, doesn't he? And he doesn't need good opportunities to find the back of the net. So he's in great form. Obviously, the shape has changed a little with Staminic being the one holding midfielder and Franco and Cullen, who's not adverse to playing this role, dropping in, a bit more of a 10. Good passer, nice footballer, Cullen, and obviously takes here the pressure off a little bit, the onus on him to be one of the main goal getters. So yeah, the shape's changed a little bit defensively. Nothing too much to complain about. I think it's the chance creation and the offensive play that's improved greatly under Vítor Matos. In fact, they've only failed to score in one of his games in charge, which I believe was at Coventry in a narrow defeat. So 15 goals they scored in the opening 16 games. They've scored 23 in 15 since he's come in, almost double. So yeah, they're a better attacking team, absolutely. Tymon at left back has always been good for an assist. We know that there's only two players in the Championship currently with more assists, and the frequency in which he's supplying dead balls as well, which are leading to goals, was very evident to me when I was looking. He has the joint most big chances created in the league, and I think only Matt Grimes has created more chances complete than Tymon. So he's a big part of this at fullback. The other fullback, Galbraith, top quality. He kind of inverts in this new system, gets on the ball in midfield. Obviously, Staminic is in there already. So you have him going in field, getting on the ball, having plenty of touches. Lovely footballer. Two centre halves that compete well, and an excellent goalkeeper in Lawrence Vigouroux. So there you go. The 11, I think, is a decent one. I think there's a lot of Swans fans that are getting rather excited given the run, which is 8 wins in 13 currently, which is a lifetime away from what they were at the start of the season where they were really toiling. So I think there's a few supporters probably getting excited about potentially having a drive towards the playoffs. But I think more realistically, they've got a good manager and with some savvy additions in the summer, they could be a team to be reckoned with next season.
Let's see. Right, I think just format-wise, we should probably have a sting here, listeners, so we'll speak to you in just shy of 5 seconds. League One and League Two previews then. Reading against Wigan. Is it a derby? No, let's move on. But wait, Wickham referred to it as the Thames Valley Derby on their official website just last year. And they square off in Berkshire this weekend in what some, brackets me, are calling the Cooig Classico. Reading play Wigan on Tuesday. Sam, hasn't Liam Richardson done a wonderful job? I know he's been linked with the Blackburn position. He said, we've had no direct contact. I don't think there's many questions to be answered. My focus hasn't veered in any shape or form on what I've set out to do and my role at this job. That's not a refusal, but yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to name drop here. I was talking to Chris Sutton about this at the weekend because...
Oh, just giving it large.
Because I remember playing against Liam Richardson in the FA Youth Cup and he was playing for Blackburn Rovers. So that's where he started. Mm-hmm. And it was that era of Dunn, I think, was in the team. And I was directly up against Martin Taylor. Do you remember him? Mm. He's 6'7", centre-half, whose nickname was Tiny, I believe. So it was a really good side. And yeah, Liam Richardson, I think, was a fullback around about that time. So that's where the link comes from. And I would concur, mate. The recent results have been a little bit meh, a little bit flat. But in the main, I've enjoyed watching his team. Immediately when he went in there, I think I covered one of his first games, home to Stevenage, and really attractive football. Kind of wants to be a 3-2-4-1 in possession. You've got Savage and Wing as your two, and then you got a fullback joining in higher up. One of the wide players tucks in to become a 10. So, yeah, quite easy on the eye, but I suppose they've been carried a little bit by Marriott, who actually, I think, came back in one of the games that I saw over Christmas, Luton at home, and he scored 7 in 10 games since that, 12 overall in 16 starts. So he's in ridiculous form and they'll want to respond. They play tonight as we speak and obviously take on Wickham at home at the weekend, but lost, and I think deservedly so, at Wimbledon at the weekend, although the goals they conceded were calamitous. I mean,
calamitous.
Calamitous, yeah. Marcus Brown's had the easiest hat trick he'll ever get. I think the goalkeeper at fault, Joel Pereira, for two, and I think it was Fraser who gave the ball away for the third. So, yeah, just a little bit of inconsistency at the moment. But if they can get it right, as I touched on just a few moments ago, this is a decent team. Few players unavailable, Ben Elliott, Randell Williams, Chiawa, who we spoke about probably his pronunciation more than anything else earlier in the season. With those three players back, they got better options in that kind of three behind Marriott. And yeah, they'll give Wickham a game, but Wickham are probably the team outside of the top six at the moment that a lot of clubs' managers will be a little bit concerned about.
Tough to get a read on them going into this game, I think, though, Clarkie. They come into it off the back of their biggest win of the season, 4-0 against Doncaster, but they've only won twice on the road in the league all season.
Yeah, and that's the hindrance, isn't it? So if they can fix that between now and the end of the season, they probably can catch a Bradford or a Huddersfield. But yeah, if it carries on the way it's been in terms of their road trips results, then they won't make it. They'll fall short. They're going for it, aren't they? I mean, they're only 6 points off. I think they're in eighth, aren't they? So there's not a huge amount to make up. And they've gone for it in the transfer market. They were disappointed to lose Sam Bell, who went back to Bristol City. But, you know, they've brought in some pretty good players. Obviously, they've signed Aaron Morley on a permanent deal. Luke Harris from Fulham's come in. Nathan Lowe, headline news. Don't think he's played yet, but he's there. And Andre Vidigal from Stoke, who's not a bad player, out on the wing either. So, yeah, they look really different to Ainsworth's Wickham and Bloomfield's Wickham. There's not many survivors. It's a new team, different style of play. They've even gone away from a back three lately under Michael Duff. He's known, of course, for his sort of 3-4-3s. And they went 4-2-3-1 the last couple of games. And obviously one of them was that thumping win against Donny. So that was interesting as well. They've got some good firepower, haven't they? Onyedimma, he's no longer really being played as a wing back. He's higher up the pitch, either as a striker or a winger. He's got 8 this season. So yeah, they've made changes. It's better than what it was. They've still got a fair bit of possession as well. You know, they've carried on with that under the previous manager. So no, look, Wickham are going well, but this is exactly the sort of match they won't win. So if they do win, maybe they're one to keep your eye on.
We're not predicting this one, are we? But drawn the equal most amount of games in the division, these two, 10 games. So
it's one apiece, isn't it? It's one all day long.
There's a big one in League Two. It's the top two tussling, well, the top two at the time of recording, at least. Bromley versus Notts County at Hayes Lane. We spoke last week, didn't we, about how difficult Hayes Lane is as a place to go. They haven't lost anywhere since the end of November, Clarkie. This is a stern examination for them, though.
Yeah, definitely. Notts County are flying. Bromley are brilliant, aren't they? 5 points clear, eight points off of fourth, which is sort of the magic number really for them at the moment. Unbeaten at home all season, unbeaten in 12. So yes, there's loads to like. What they find it harder to do here is maybe score from a set piece. Now they've got 22 set piece goals this season, Bromley, in League Two. But Notts County have the best record at defending set pieces. They've only let in six, I think, since the start of this season. So that won't be as easy. Bromley, as we've said before in this pod, have scored at least twice in every home game. Well, if you look at Notts County on the road, they've only conceded twice on a handful of occasions. You know, I think four times. You know, so this will be a harder game, no doubt about it. But you know, when you've got Nicky Cabambra, the best sub in the business, coming off the bench again last weekend to get the winner at Fleetwood, that's one goal every 87 minutes now for Cabambra.
Has someone looked here yet? I need someone to do it.
10 goals now.
I need a list of the most goals from a substitute in a League Two season, or even surely does that happen in the Premier League? I can't think of anyone.
No, not even the most famous.
How many would Solskjaer have got on the average season? Do you know what I mean? He'd have been good for four or five, wouldn't he? But surely not that level.
Yeah.
Jermaine Defoe, most Premier League goals as a substitute, 24.
Okay.
Yeah, in a season though. So he ain't getting nine in a season, is he?
No chance.
Wouldn't have thought so.
No, so look, and a few of those are headers. They're very dangerous in the air, Bromley. As that set piece record would suggest, they're fit, really fit, and they're strong. Yeah, look, this is a tough game for both teams. And look, if Bromley win it, you can lock them in. They're heading up to League One, but I think they are anyway.
What about Notts, Sam? Another manager who has surprised us, I think it would be fair to say, in Martin Patterson. Six wins on the spin coming into this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think I can hide away that we weren't too enamoured with that appointment after what happened at Burton. And I think it was bigger than that, wasn't it? It was about this kind of managerial structure that they put in place at Notts County, which had put them in a position to be ridiculed before a ball was kicked. But more for me and more for us, because... yeah, they've gone under the radar, haven't they? And they shouldn't have done. They're a good side. I saw them at Cheltenham early in the season. I can't recall the result, but they won actually narrowly, but I was really impressed with them. You know, they moved the ball really well. They got good players, top front players. And I mean, my favourite subject is obviously Nicky Cabambra, anyone who listens to the podcast. But they got 24, Cabambra and Cheek, and they never play together. And Jatta and Dennis for Notts County got 25 between them and never play together. So can they get both of them in the same team? I suppose Notts County, they like to play with the two tens, don't they, and play that box midfield. Normally it's one coming on to replace the other. I think Jatta missed the last game through injury, and it doesn't matter too much because, you know, this is a favourite pastime of mine as well. Dennis, 16 points his goals have been worth. He scored three winners. Last three goals have been winners. So, like, he is scoring massive goals, 16 points. If you factor in, you know, the games that he's notched in. So, yeah, I think Jatta's probably right up there as well. I think, you know, all round game, he's a bit of a pest, physical. He can run, and certainly knows where the goal is. And they've got a decent defence as well to go with it, Notts County. So maybe after that, you know, fall at the last hurdle in the playoffs last year, we would have envisioned them having this type of season, and they put themselves in with a great opportunity. Not been beaten by anyone in the top five. So they go there, I would suggest, with confidence, although these six wins have all come courtesy of a solo goal, a single goal. So they haven't beat anyone by more than one in this run. I think, in fact, it's only one win in 10 when it's been by more than a goal margin. So they're fine margins at the moment, but that will do them nicely. And yeah, they'll be worked, Bromley, because I think it's a good footballing side, which will try and get players in the pocket to cause them problems. And that in turn calls for good organisation of the opponent. And yeah, Bromley can hurt opposition with obviously their strengths, but I think this will be a bit of a contrasting game and a real test for the home side.
Should be an interesting one. A slightly truncated programme of EFL action this weekend because the Football Association's Challenge Cup has reached round four. I've asked the chaps to pick a potential upset. I reckon there's quite a few shocks on the card maybe here, Clarkie. Have you spotted anything?
I was looking. I looked through Saturday's card and I didn't see a lot. And then I looked through Sunday's and I was like, ooh, okay. I don't mind that quite as much. I think there's some
attention. He only had one, mate. He'll only had one, isn't he, Matt? Yeah.
All right. Well,
step on our toes here.
I'm going to go for, let me think. I think I'm going to go for Oxford to beat Sunderland. There you go. Oxford nice. Can beat Sunderland, I think, at the weekend. But there's a lot of good ones on Sunday where the smaller club plays the Premier League club at home. And I always think that's the best formula.
Okay, well, Oxford Sunderland comes into that category. Which one are you plumping for, Sam?
Was third on my list, so I can happily score that one out. I'm going to go for Mansfield to win at Burnley.
Ooh, that was on my list too, and then I remembered what happened to Millwall when they played Burnley.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking Millwall played the fringe players. I'm just thinking Nigel Clough won't do that, so that'll be Mansfield's first team against Burnley's reserves. So that should shorten the gap.
They're going down, Burnley. Like, just at least have a cup run. Like, what's the point in playing the fringe players?
And I can still see that... that Lincoln winner at Turf Moor when Lincoln got all the way to the, what was that, the quarterfinals a few years ago?
Played Arsenal, didn't they? Yeah.
Been done. Oh, yeah, of course.
I was toying with the idea of two. Port Vale against Bristol City. Thought possibly. That's not very glamorous, is it? I'll go for Birmingham against Leeds, which is also a Sunday one. Leeds are obviously going to rotate the life out of their team for that one. It's a high noon showdown as well. So yeah, I reckon Birmingham might get something in that one. We shall see. Those are predictions of sorts. We do our proper predictions and that's where we are now in the show. There's going to be some crowing from Clark, you fancy, because he got 4 points last week, including getting West Brom 0, Stoke 0 right on the nose. Sam got 3 points, just the one for me, so you're still ahead then, Clarky.
Yeah, Froto, yeah, Matt 33, Sam 39, I'm on 51, so it's I mean, it's not a great one for the fans at the moment, and I know there are so many fans out there that are just sort of, you know, desperate for a title race, but it just doesn't feel like they're gonna get one this year, or a relegation race.
All right, well, let's see if we can start the fight back here. We'll start with Preston against Watford. Winner's privilege then, Clarky. What do you think this is going to be?
It's still a bit of new manager bounce, maybe. Preston, not most high-scoring team, are they? I'm going to go Preston 1, Watford 1.
Sam?
I will go for the home win. A little bit of, you know, the manager. Oh, I saw some good stuff. Lot to go on. I like the lad. The attitude's been exemplary. Like a bit of that.
To be fair, we've got a lot of information they've had to take on board in the last few days, and they've been great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit of a cow field up there, though, so they're not going to be able to play at their swashbuckling best, these young lads of the Hornets. 1-0 Preston.
Okay, I'm just going to go for an away win. Why not? 0-1, Ed Still off to a winning start. Blackpool Plymouth, the League One game that I've picked for us. How's this going to go, Sam?
Yeah, I struggled a little bit this morning having a little look at this because Plymouth's away form's been really good. Fletcher's on fire, isn't he, for Blackpool. I'm going to go for home win. Lot of travelling.
Lot of travel.
Yeah. Always. And it's been their kryptonite, isn't it? But they're in good nick, the old Pilgrims on the road, but not in this one. 2-1 Blackpool.
Okay, it's the Ian Holloway derby. I'm going to call it as a 2-2 draw. What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, I see it as a level pegging one. Yeah, Blackpool not in the best of form, need something under Ian Everett. I think they'll get something. But Plymouth are much improved, not in the relegation zone anymore. I think they're going to be fine. One apiece.
Okay, Barnet Cheltenham is last up. Plucking this straight out of the air, 2-0 Barnet. What do you reckon, Sam?
Yeah, that's what I had scribbled down. I'll go for a third home win. 3-1. Cheltenham are struggling, aren't they?
Hat trick of home victories in this fixture, Adrian?
I'm meeting you in the middle, yeah. I'm going to go for Barnet 2, Cheltenham 1. Barnet score a lot of goals at home. Cheltenham, that brilliant start they had under Cotterill, it's levelled off a little bit. And I think, Barnet will have too much for them in this one. So, 2-1 Barnet.
All right, nearly done for the week. Another plea for a 5-star review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, if you'd be so kind. And a reminder of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleware.org for information on responsible gambling. And we will finish with a tweet of the week. It comes from Tommy O'Reilly of Crew Alexandra, who scored for them at the weekend, and he has posted a picture of him doing just that. It's two images, actually, a crisp volley by the looks of things, and then wheeling away in celebration. He says, goal, comma, win, exclamation mark, away support, unreal. Train emoji. Big fan of this, Sam. All of it. Mm. The train emoji for the railwaymen, the brevity of it, the nod to the away support. It's everything we're looking for.
The goal comma win's great. Yeah, really good. And a train emoji is one of the best, isn't it? Surely that's one of the best.
It's up there, isn't it?
Yeah. In terms of the clubs that you can play for and produce an eye-catching emoji.
Didn't know it existed. Yeah, it's a new
perfect.
One.
I don't like away support, unreal. You know I don't like that. It's unnecessary. But what a brilliant photo. Brilliant photo. He's a sock roller downer. And I'm familiar with his work because I picked him out pre-match. Harrogate Crew, I think it was, earlier in the season, said they got this loanee, he's really good, he's got a little bit of guile, lovely technician, did nothing. made me look a right wally. So well done, Tommy. This is more like it. And just unfortunately, you couldn't produce it in North Yorkshire when I needed it most.
Had a loan at Real Union. In Spain, he's a couple of years
he's a nice footballer.
He's a Villa, isn't he? Yeah, he's a Villa youngster, isn't he? Well, I don't want to get too sort of, I don't know what the word is, but I like the muscle definition on the legs. I look back at it and I think, yeah, that used to be me. Used to have definition like that on my quads.
Definitely wasn't me.
Not anymore, I'm afraid. But I don't like the sock roller downer that much. I just think that those little shin pads should be banned. I think they need to be consigned to history books because they must be like, I don't know, just absolutely miniature. Because his socks are virtually around his ankles. It's absolutely nuts. But great picture, good tweet. Wish him the best.
Yeah, you got a feel for James though. At Golf Punting UK, a bit of you that, Sam. He replied, fantastic finish. MOTM, definitely. Trains cancelled, so ended up being a long ass day. Well worth it. UTFA red heart emoji. Big irony, I suppose, isn't there, in a railwayman's train being cancelled? But such is life. We move on. Anyway,
what's that then? That's into Euston from Crewe, is it? And then out towards Crawley. What you'd have to go into Victoria, across town on the tube to Victoria, do you reckon?
Yeah, possibly exactly a change at Manchester.
I'm off and on the Crewe train. Yeah.
That's a nice little few beers in the West End though, isn't it, before you do the next leg of your journey?
Yeah. You just gotta hope that the train runs on time, and that's something that we're all familiar with, unfortunately. right. That is where we're gonna leave things.
Time's
for
to train down, Matt.
yeah, tonight we'll hope that it plays in my favour. But that's where we're going to leave things for today. Thanks to Adrian. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to you for listening. For now, it's goodbye.